This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Ladies and gentlemen, we start the Power Hour. We go direct to the A to meet with Mr. Thursday Night of ESPN College Football. Look at
nice.
Huh? Right there. Roddy Jones.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Matt Berry, Roddy Jones, Harry Lyles, they got the Thursday Night for you.
How about that?
Huh? How about that? What happened on the way to the television job, huh? I'm getting the second scoop on Saturdays.
No, absolutely not. The only way any of this was going down was if you and I were going to be together in person on Saturdays once again. So I'm excited to get going. Obviously excited to do the Thursday night. We got some great Thursday night ACC games later in the year. So it'll be a lot of fun. But it wouldn't have happened without being with you on Saturdays, Wes.
There you go. Assist.
An assist. A pass. Thank you for the pass, right?
Yep. Share
the
ball. Assist.
Share right the
there.
Ball.
Hey, sorry about the baseball game last night. I know you had the pom-poms
oh
out.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, see, here he goes.
Absolutely not. When you win nine straight and the Yankees have won nine straight, you know, something had to give. Obviously, we ended up on the losing end of that, as we have, you know, as the records would have suggested. But we'll be backpack. I mean, Waskar, you know, was pretty legit last night. I've got a lot of faith in this team going forward. I think it's our year, Pack. I think we're going to go all the way. I think we're going to win it all, honestly. The way we've been playing, come on, Freddie's crushing the baseball.
Yeah, it's our year. That nine-game winning streak, you don't play the Orioles and the Marlins in the postseason, big man. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed the Yankees because they're not even the best team you're going to play at home this week.
Oh, no.
Well, look, Pack, we take it one game at a time. You play who's in front of you. You know, all those coaching adages, that's what you got to do. So it's not our fault that we got a weak nine-game stretch. We took care of business we got another shot at the Yankees here tonight. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
Hey,
we still got time to win the series.
I wish you the best. You're going to need to load up before the big boys, the best team in baseball, comes into Atlanta this weekend.
Roddy, let me just emphasize to you.
I mean, somebody's 180 this year. Nobody else has. Gosh. I'm just saying.
Heavens.
Well, hey, nobody's been better than us since what, like a month ago? We've been the best team in the league for like a month, right?
Yeah, so, well, nobody's been better than us.
Come on, Giants, let's go.
Nobody's been better than us since April. You can talk about last week beating the Orioles. And by the way, we lost 18 in a row.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Me, Wes, and seven dudes down the street are going to beat the Orioles tonight just to have some fun and kill some time.
You play who's in front of you, Pack. You can't change the schedule. You got to take care of who's in front of you.
Can we get to football, please?
Well, you're the one keeping the conversation going here like we're doing this week in baseball.
I mean, I didn't get started with Thursday night football. I'm trying to get us back on track here. Let's get back on track.
All right. Okay, so.
Right. Who are you starting Friday against the Giants?
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
All right. Waskar, you know, again. Let's go.
Again.
Roddy, take me through. I want you to go former player here, not current analyst on television. If you're a player, what do you think of the alliance?
You don't think about it at all. It's this sort of like big picture topic stuff that swims around college football that you really have no idea how it applies to you. Like, players have enough to think about. They got class to think about. They're going from meeting to meeting. Like, we were down at Georgia Tech, and I talked to some of those guys in camp mode, and they're worried about getting from one meeting to the next. When's my next nap? When's my next meal? When's my next practice? And when do I have to start school? That's it. Like, they're not thinking about the alliance at all, especially without any details. Like, if it came out that these guys were all of a sudden going to start playing West Coast teams in 5 years, maybe some of the freshmen would be excited about it. Mm-hmm. But the seniors, it would be talked about for about 10 seconds on, hey, we would love to do that, but it's not going to happen. Then you move on. These guys are so, like, all the stuff that we talk about, maybe other than NIL. NIL was something that came up that was going to directly affect them. But playoff expansion, the alliance, all that stuff, like, players don't think about that stuff. They're worried about my next meeting, my next nap, my next meal, my next class, my next practice. That's about it. Because that's about all you have the capacity to think about when you're getting ready for the season.
All right. Mark and I just did areas of focus for each ACC team. A couple of them were in the offensive line. Some of it was tackling. Georgia Tech was field goal kicking, which we know they're going to be better. I already said they'll be the most improved field goal kicking team in the country. Right now, what team – Pac says he doesn't know anything. What's your line? I don't know anything about
– I'm not talking about Louisville until we watch him play. Right. I have no idea what
Louisville
has
no idea about Louisville. Who are you most confident in the ACC beyond Clemson and maybe Carolina at this point? Miami, the household brands we're talking about in the top 25. Who's next on your list outside of one of your girls who really wants to be part of the conversation?
They always want to be part of the conversation. But us and them are really excited about Pitt. Like, I think I know what Pitt's going to be. I think they're going to be really good on offense. They've obviously got a lot of the offensive skill back. We saw Israel Abanikanda in the spring. Yeah. And I think at the running back position, he's going to provide them with an explosiveness and a physicality that we haven't seen in a few years. You add him to Vincent Davis, who exploded towards the end of the season. And I think that running back room is going to be really good. And I know we're worried about losing Weaver and Jones. Rashad Weaver and Patrick Jones were fantastic bookends. And Damar Hamlin on the back end was a really good player as well. But the guys that they're replacing those guys with have played. And Pittsburgh is always tough to run the ball against. And they're always going to put pressure on you, whether that's with four or with six. They're going to figure out a way to do it. It's just part of their DNA. So they're going to be a defense that makes you beat them over the top. And I think offensively, this is the year that they figure out the red zone. This is the year that they figure out third downs. This is the year that Kenny Pickett's touchdown numbers start to increase and really show the type of quarterback that he is. So I think Pitt is that team that I am most confident in, if you will. The reason that they're going to have a tough run the Coastal is because they got Clemson when Miami and North Carolina both don't. So when you got Clemson, it makes it a little tougher to win the division. But I really like what Pitt's going to do.
Ronnie, I thought of you yesterday when I saw the story regarding name, image, and likeness when Georgia Tech's Jordan Yates signed a deal with the Atlanta Braves. And I said, you know, if name, image, and likeness were in play when you were in school, that had your name written all over it, given your love affair of all teams from the ATL.
Yeah, it would have been. You'd have seen me with the Joe Johnson jersey with the Hawks. Obviously, Chipper was still playing. Chipper's my guy. So we'd have had a Chipper Jones jersey. I would have been rocking everything. I think the Thrashers were still around then, too. I had a Kovalchuk jersey, too. Like, I'm talking every Atlanta team. Atlanta United wasn't even around, but the Atlanta Silverbacks was like a minor league soccer team that we had down here. I'd have had that jersey on, too. So no matter what it was Atlanta sports-wise, even if it didn't involve anything other than free tickets, Pack, I'd have been signed up for it. Because free tickets, I mean, come on. Sign up for that. Falcons, too. Like, Roddy White, Matt Ryan, Michael DeBerner, Turner, West knows all those dudes. I'd have had all the jerseys, all of them.
Yeah, and I saw that story. And again, I love name, image, and likeness. I think it's great. And when I saw it, I said, man, Roddy Jones is looking at this going, man, my timing was off by about 10 years. Would have been an absolute home run.
Dude, let me just tell you this. 13 years ago, he did the one thing that would have ensured name, image, and likeness greatness in his
life. Georgia.
Oh, 232. Yeah. Housed it.
I will say there's a large portion of the state that did not like me for those reasons. So I think a lot of doors would have closed as well. I'd had to have been pretty particular about what doors we were going through, though. But there would have been some, I think.
There have been Fortune 500s opening wide open. Just don't forget that. I did find that interesting yesterday, though, that Jordan Yates was the guy, Roddy. But he is a local kid. He does have a very good social media presence. But he's not going to be the Pack, and I think you agree with this. He's not going to be the first nor the last to have some kind of affiliation with a professional sports franchise that might not be his particular sport, Roddy.
Yeah, I the thing I love about it, Pack, you kind of hinted at it a second ago. The thing I love about this whole thing is it's allowed athletes to be creative. Right. Jordan Yates is not going to be the starting quarterback for Georgia Tech this year. Jordan Yates, if things go well for Georgia Tech, he'll play in mop-up time and garbage time. It's not because he's a bad player. It's because he's got Jeff Sims in front of him. But he's a state championship quarterback from Milton High School in Atlanta. He's a guy that has built his brand and represented himself in the media through tough times at times in a way that endears him to people. He's very personable. I got a chance to talk to him when we were down there and try and catch up with him every time I'm down on the flats. And he's got the type of mind that you want from that you talk about when you talk about a Georgia Tech student athlete. So he is looking for those opportunities to be creative. And if there are things that he likes, then I can see he's got the type of business mind. He's got the type of personality to go after him. So I don't know how the thing with the Braves came about, but I think it's awesome because it's a brand in Atlanta that obviously embodies Atlanta. And it's a player that is sort of the local kid who's just represented himself in a way that you want to be the face of your program, even if he's not one of the best or one of the most prominent players. I think it's absolutely awesome for guys like Jordan Yates taking advantage of being in a city like Atlanta, a city that he's from, and being able to strike these deals. It really makes me proud of guys who find a way despite not being the star player on the team.
Ronnie, Wes asked you about your confidence level. You went Pitt, which I thought was an interesting answer. If Pitt is your answer on the Coastal, would it be safe to say NC State and Boston College would be the equivalent in the Atlantic on that side?
So yes to NC State. I am not as high on Boston College as a lot of people. I'm actually higher on Wake Forest, and I think Louisville's got a shot to be pretty good. I think NC State is going to be really solid. The offensive line up front, the skill position players that they've got, Devin Leary coming back gives that offense a shot in the arm. Then you look at them defensively, and for a lot of the beginning part of that year, defensively, they were kind of mixing and matching. Tanner Engel was in and out of the lineup. Peyton Wilson was in and out of the lineup. Tyler Baker Williams was in and out of the lineup, along with a number of others. Now you've got all those guys back, the three linebackers, really four linebackers, when you talk about Isaiah Moore, Peyton Wilson, Drake Thomas, and then Vi Jones. That's a really good group of linebackers. I think Corey Durden helps them up front, and then that secondary is going to be solid. In terms of Boston College, I'm just a little concerned about Boston College on defense. This was a defense that really played hard, but they're going to be overmatched in most of their games this season. And when you look at who they lost, they're losing two really good linebackers. I'm just a little concerned about Boston College on the defensive side of the football. And then the loss of Hunter Long. Like, Hunter Long was a fantastic red zone target. And it's not like it was a Boston College offense that just tore it up all season. They were mediocre in most statistical categories and bottom third in quite a number of them. So I'm a little pumped the brakes on Boston College. I got to see him in year two now that people have film on Frank Cignetti's offense, now that people have film on what Tim Lukaboo wants to do on defense. I just think that they're a few years away from being that consistent 7 or 8 win team, which is where I think you'll have to be that third team in the Atlantic.
All right, 5 ACC guys were named All-America yesterday, 3 on the first team, Zion Johnson, Brian Brazee, and Justin Ross. Nobody represents chip on the shoulder more than Roddy Jones. Who got snubbed?
With the All-American teams, I don't really know how you can say guys got snubbed unless they're just the guy. Like, the name brands that we know in this league, those guys really, they got their recognition. If there's any guy that stands out, maybe it's a Bubba Bolden, but, like, who are you putting them in front of? When you look at the All-American teams, it's just names all up and down. It's like, yep, that guy deserves it. Yep, that guy deserves it. Yep, that guy deserves it. So even if there's a guy like Sam Howell who's like, man, I should have been first-team All-American quarterback. Like, you got picked behind Spencer Rattler. You can't really argue that much about it because you're splitting hairs between those two, especially the way Spencer Rattler, not only his talent, but also the way he ended last year. So chip on the shoulder, I take a little bit more of a step back for the All-American team just because all of those guys are really, really good. So even if you're a big name in the league and you got left out, there weren't any that were like glaring omissions to me. There were some guys that maybe have some gripes, but no glaring omissions in my opinion.
I tell you what you did find out with that list yesterday though, Roddy, is Justin Ross. As I pointed out, people forgot because they never saw him play last year. I think he's the best wide receiver in the league. And I think even in that Georgia game, given the Dawgs secondary, you're going to find out what a great player Justin Ross is. That it was a humongous addition to Dabo's group, who's already loaded.
Yeah, you're absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that in his freshman year had over 1,000 yard receivings, and in his sophomore year had over 1,000 yards receiving. And he obviously missed his junior year. You're talking about adding a guy like that. Like, is there a such thing as a six-star recruit? Because that's who Justin Ross is. And it will be interesting in that Georgia game. Like, what if you get a Darion Kendrick-Justin Ross matchup at some point in time? That's going to be fascinating to watch. He is definitely going to have an impact. He's the best receiver in the league as soon as he comes back. He's one of the best in the country. So I am really excited to see him. And the reports out of Clemson are, he is reminding people very quickly, yeah, I'm still Justin Ross, still making the acrobatic catches. People forget how good he is after the catch as well, like on those short slants or short routes. How good he is after the catch, how big and hard to tackle he is. Obviously, the speed and the ball skills. That's what is going to stand out to people. That dude snatches the ball out of the air with one hand, with two hands. It was one. Obviously, you're happy that he is able to recover the way he did. But it was one of those things that I missed last year. I missed watching Justin Ross. I was really looking forward to it. Glad that he's healthy. Glad that he's back. And I'm sure Clemson is too. And DJ Uiagalelei is as well.
All right. I got one question, though. Same question we asked Tony Elliott in the spring. How are you cutting that football up with all those running backs, all those receivers, all those tight ends? I mean, Roddy, we saw Jalen Lay. We saw Birkenstein. We've seen all these guys play. Browningstone. I mean, they got five tight ends packed. They got eight wide receivers. They got six running backs.
I don't think that's the question, though. I think Clemson's question is up front. Have they solved the offensive line issues to be more physical than they were a year ago? You know, and Travis Etienne's not sitting back there either. I mean, so of that group of running backs, somebody will have to become the ultimate alpha. And, you're playing Georgia in week one. I keep emphasizing great defensive line going up against an offensive line that better find some answers ASAP. That could be a low-scoring game, Roddy, don't you think, given how great both defenses are?
Yeah, it could be. And now, I think when you look at the secondaries, I think Georgia has a lot more questions than obviously Clemson does, which is why I like Clemson in the ball game. But you're right, Pac, up front, Georgia's really, really good up front this year. And Clemson struggled last year. Now, we saw them in the spring, and they are more confident about not only their talent up front, but also the depth. So maybe you find something there. But Georgia's going to put that to the test immediately. Now, you can flip over to the other side and say the same thing about Clemson testing Georgia. But it is going to be fascinating. Like, I could see a game that ends up in the high 20s with the winner, which in a college football, like in college football nowadays, that's a low scoring game if nobody gets in the 30s. But we will absolutely see. And Wes, to your statement about cutting up the football, I actually think it may help Clemson in some ways because they're sort of young and unproven outside of Justin Ross. There's one guy on that offense that has to get his touches, and it's Justin Ross. Everybody else, you better perform. You better be in the right spot. You better know what to do. And when you get the chance, hold on to the football and make a play, or else it's not coming back to you. So whether that's Phil Maffa or Will Shipley or Michael Dukes or Kobe Pace or Lynn J. Dixon at running back or out wide, it's a Joe Ajoa or Ladson and Gata. The Collins twins, E.J. Williams, like all you better make a play. There's no drops here. There's no fumbling the football because if you do, we'll just roll in another one. We'll roll another one off the assembly line and let him go make a play, and somebody's going to take the reins. The question is just who.
Yeah, Pac, that's what happens.
That was a Dabo Sweeney-esque.
That was Dabo Sweeney-esque.
One question and 23 names later. Well, let's go kick the pick.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Dabo will be on with us tomorrow at 9:30, by the way.
Roddy, in one of the smaller upsets, Packer not going to the game in Charlotte.
Won't be here. Not going to be in Charlotte.
Not
what?
Going to the game.
What?
Packer not going to the
Charlotte.
Game.
Man. We'll
not
be here.
We'll not even going to be in
That's
town.
That's an upset.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
It's an upset.
It's an upset.
You know,
it's an upset.
I've been requested my time.
I thought they were
going to
roll out the orange carpet and have, like, the palatial suite in Bank of America Stadium all ready for you.
I mean, I don't need it. But I mean, it's going to be an awesome game. Like I said, I've said it before, it will be the most important football game played in that stadium, with the exception of the ACC championship game.
How about that? That statement right there.
Yep. Completely agree there. Completely agree there. You can just discount what the Panthers are doing.
Well, I mean, if you've watched any NFL preseason, you know I'm telling you the truth. Those two teams, Georgia and Clemson, they could double the size of Bank of America Stadium. You still couldn't get a ticket.
That's right.
Just telling you.
All right.
Then the most important.
By the way, talking
about
NFL preseason, are we sounding the alarm? Are we trying to get Trevor out of there now? Because It's not looking good down in Jacksonville. Can we get Trevor out of there? Can we get something where he's going to be in a little bit of more of a spot where he's protected a little bit? Speaking of NFL preseason football.
Hey, you're the NFL guy. Don't ask me.
I got two words for you, Trevor. Yeah. At least for the time being, bubble wrap.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. Let me give you the good news for Trevor Lawrence. $24 million guaranteed.
That's the good news.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Tell JC and Adrian hello from Mr. Wes and Mr. Mark. There you go.
Hey, and good luck to your Braves until the weekend.
They will be upset they didn't get to say hello. Yeah, Pack. I'm going to text you. You're getting texts all weekend long.
All you want, big man.
Okay. Hey,
don't let that 1995 World Series championship, I think that's the year
it was.
Don't let that thing fade on you, all right?
Okay. Yeah, it was. Thanks.
Don't let it fade.
Pack. Nice.
Yep.
Well done,
Pack. No, we'll polish it every day.
There you go.
Good idea. Once again, Mark Packer, master of subtlety, right here on Packer and Durham.
Hey, stop me if I'm wrong.
No, you're exactly right.
7 days till kick, right? Six? Five? How many days till kick? Four? When do we get to Raleigh? We go to Raleigh this weekend? Get a good spot? Make sure we're in a good spot for Thursday?
Nine. Don't forget the ACC football road trip continues tomorrow night. EJ Manuel loosening up as we speak.
Hope he's all right.
For the football road trip at Tallahassee. Mike Norvell joins EJ and Kelsey Riggs. 7 o'clock Eastern Time. ACC Network streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, overnight, we had some alliance news. We expect more today, this afternoon, in a prepared statement. We'll bring you up to speed on what we know and maybe the bigger play on this when Packer and Durham continue on a Tuesday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Wes, you're stepping all over your buddy. Now watch out. The head's at the foot. Just saying, be careful.
You can't see here on television, but I have an 85-pound black lab, well, kind of repositioning himself to where my feet were going to have to be out here because I was there. There you can see Fuller underneath. Well, he was laying back under here, essentially preventing me from
Let
us know when we can do the show again.
The deal with Fuller is real simple. He loves human touch.
Yes.
And it's true regardless of who comes rolling into the house.
Come on, big fella.
You know, after one bark and a sniff, he'll come up and lean up against you. He's like, he just likes to be in contact with you. And he has found you to be his buddy now. Buddy Wes is back in the studio. So there you go.
Good to see you, Fuller. How you doing, brother?
Here it is.
Everybody good? Okay.
I didn't feed him any like ravioli or Italian food
at
4 a.m.
Goodness.
So you're safe.
Yeah. We do expect some news today. Prepared statement, later today at 2 o'clock is what we're being told. More on the alliance, scheduling, maybe, who knows? Governance, all a part of it. The ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, all getting together to kind of see what they can do to navigate the new landscape of college athletics. And it's coming in fast now, folks. The tide's rolling right on here. Pardon the pun there.
Navigate and lead.
Yeah.
I think that's the key here with this group.
And let's go back to the statement we talked about a week ago when this kind of was germinating, about 8 days ago, right after the story came out on that Friday night. The idea that 41% of the membership of the Association of American Universities is in these three leagues means a lot. It's not the very sexy part of it. It's not something people automatically move to, but it has certainly become a driving force, Mark, in the timing of this and how fast they've been able to get
it
done.
Well, when you have presidents and chancellors that are comfortable with one another, and they feel like, hey, we kind of represent, there's a sameness about us.
Mm-hmm.
They can make decisions ASAP when they really feel like, hey, you know what? We're on the same page. Let's go.
Yep.
These decisions are not made by athletic directors or coaches. And so therefore, when people start screaming about, well, this team does this. Hey, no. These decisions are made at the very top. And I think the fact that this story broke less than 10 days ago.
Right.
And here we are talking about an announcement this afternoon tells you that comfortable feel amongst the true power brokers, guys making decisions, men and women, It could not be more evident, and that's where that AAU thing does come into play here.
Yeah, I think the other part you have to remember about, just look at the comments, okay? Sandy Barber, the athletics director at Penn State, talking about this is more than just athletics, it's about like-mindedness, things of that nature. Any comment you've seen Jim Phillips' administration about the combination of education and athletics, academics and athletics, those ideals, that's clearly going to be part of his administration, as it was John Swofford and Gene Corrigan and Bob James and Jim Weaver.
Supporting more sports up. I mean, everybody's talking football because football is the driving force, but it goes a lot deeper than that. Yeah. Those three conferences support more sports than the SEC and the Big 12. And who knows what happens to the Big 12 after all is said and done. Mm-hmm. Time will tell with all that stuff. But it goes back to power. It goes back to governance. It could be scheduling. Money is obviously tied into this. Nobody does anything for free just because they like it. These are big-time organizations and represent some serious brands in the world of college sports and the new direction that we're heading in. It's really a total transformation that we're watching happen right here before our very eyes.
Well, and here's the one that'll kind of bring all of that back to clarity. If you take the U.S. News and World Report rankings of institutions in the United States and average them by conference, this is where it really starts to draw a pretty clear line, doesn't it?
I think this is the line in the sand. You tell me, you look at the five on here, the Power Five, the ACC is 55th average rank, Big Ten 63rd, the Pac-12 is 79th, and then there is a serious drop. The SEC is 113, the Big 12 is 141. What does this mean as far as the scoreboard on a given Saturday?
Who knows?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But guess what? This is about, again, sameness, direction, governance. What's the next direction of college sports? And down the road we go. And the TV deal, I think, is going to be critical with all of this, whether we're talking about the college football playoff expansion, whether you can schedule games of note in your regular season for the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 that you can now replace. Maybe it's one game with the Big Ten, one game with the Pac-12. Networks love marquee matchups between brands. That's how you generate revenue. And it can also trickle down to possibly your media rights, which, by the way, for the Big Ten are open in 23 and for the Pac-12 in 24. So, you know, for folks to discount this, you can discount it all you want, but you're sticking your head, you know, where because there is stuff happening with these three leagues. And, again, the SEC is in a great spot. The Big 12 is not. So where does this go? Grab your popcorn. We're getting ready to find out some more details this afternoon.
Yeah, we'll get that this afternoon and then give you some follow-up tomorrow morning on the show along with Dabo Swinney at 9:30 tomorrow here on Packer and Durham. One of the things that came out in the report last night from Yahoo, and then Adam Rittenberg able to confirm it for us here at ESPN, was any Pac-10 or Big 12 team already playing Notre Dame, which has its own scheduling deal with the ACC, would count the Irish as its ACC opponent. So that's Southern California. That's Stanford.
Combination of the Big 10.
Yeah, combination of teams there, depending on the year.
Right.
So anybody that's got a current contract, that might rub some folks the wrong way, and I get it. But at the same time, when you are trying to calm the waters here and navigate this, that might be just an important piece for both sides by the time we move through this.
And I think Notre Dame, from an academic standpoint, their scheduling standpoint, there is a sameness. Again, when you start talking about the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12, they've already got a relationship there. And I think big picture, I know fans want to hear about schedules. All right, when's North Carolina going to take on Michigan? When's Florida State going to play USA? I get that. I mean, that's what fans really want to know. They don't want to hear us babbling about academic records and all that kind of stuff. Even I'm telling you, that's critical here. But, Wes, you start talking about schedules.
Right.
Right? If you're playing eight conference games, which is what the ACC does, for argument's sake, if you're going to add a Big Ten game and a Pac-12 game to your schedule, quick math tells you 8 + 2 = 10. There's only two open spots. Four teams in this conference have game endings with the SEC, right? Mm. You got Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, and Louisville. All of a sudden, your schedule starts getting pretty squeezed.
Yeah.
Right? They're really tight. And the flip side is, what makes this even more intriguing is, if you're the Southeastern Conference, you've just, to your credit, added Oklahoma and Texas to form what is a great league to make it even better. You play eight conference games. There's no way in the world you're going to stay at eight. You got to figure that number is going to at least go to nine. And to be honest with you, nine is kind of an uncomfortable number, because that means somebody in your league is going to complain about, well, they play five home games in the league. I only play four. And when you have a league as competitive, as entertaining as they do, I don't know if that number goes to 10. I mean, I don't know how this is going to play out. The bottom line is, the amount of spots open for non-conference scheduling, assuming this alliance works and the SEC does their thing, and I don't know what happens to the Big 12, you start to understand, hey, wait a minute, from a scheduling standpoint, there's not many spots open, big picture.
Right.
And how difficult do you want your schedule to be if you're going to play that many conference games and you're going to add a Big 10 Pac-12 combination? I mean, do you throw in the cream puff, or do you continue to say, guess what? Scheduling strength matters. Let's go load it up and go. Fans should love this. Fans of every league should love this, because in all likelihood, you're getting better quality games in the regular season. Not only within your league, but also quality non-conference games. So if I'm a fan, I don't care if I'm a Pac-12 guy, SEC guy, to me, on the surface, this should be a win-win for fans in college football.
By the way, today at 2 o'clock, you can dial us right up here, ACC Network. You will get the Alliance press conference featuring all three commissioners, Jim Phillips, Kevin Warren, George Klebikoff, coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern time right here today on ACC Network. So there's that. We're glad to provide that for you, too.
Yep. Promise you it won't be embarrassing. Pretty important.
When we come back, what coaches are best at bouncing back after losses to ranked teams? We'll have that for you next. We compiled the list here. It's interesting. It's a very interesting list. We'll run down that. Headed into the final turn on the Tuesday Packer and Durham next on ACCN.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
In Durham on a Tuesday, 4 days away from us getting to Raleigh.
Your calendar, you talk about me and math. What are you doing?
I'd like to get up there.
I know you
would.
Make
sure we got a good seat.
Dude, you're excited to leave.
I've been in the basement for almost
18 months.
8 years, seems like.
No.
I'm ready to get out and about, man. I'm ready to get loose up here in Raleigh, see what's going on.
All right. How long are you going to be in town, by the way? Let's see. You drive up after the show. Watch this now. Drive up after the show on Wednesday.
Let's see. Wednesday show ends at 7.
That'll take 3 hours, 10 o'clock. Get there at 10 o'clock.
No, you missed out there. I'm going to leave for Lexington Barbecue. I think they close at 9, so I'll leave there at 9. Then I'll get to Raleigh 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, show's at 7.
Show's at 7, so I
show ends at 10.
Get caught up with the Giants, see what they're doing, watch them to about 12:30 or 1.
Show ends at 10.
Start working on the show for this one. Get about 35 minutes of sleep, going over to Carter Finley, see how tough he's doing, and do a show with you. And at 10:01, got to go home. Stop by Lexington on the way back home and be ready for 4 o'clock for off campus. That's how we roll. All in about 35 minutes sleep.
I think the voice of victory is going to be with us in the capital city next Thursday. I think you should bring him a wax paper pie from Lexington.
If there's some left, I mean, I'm going to be there late. Yeah, you know, those things don't last long. You know that.
Yeah. The voice of victory maybe gets a
peach pie.
Half pound of chopped.
Whatever's not. The problem, you know what the problem is with Lexington Barbecue?
You eat it in the truck
after you've already consumed at least a pound and a half of it. You get some for the road, and you put it in the Ford F-150, where Chester normally sits, and you go about 20 minutes down the highway on I-40, and you're like, man, that smells good. You know what? One more sandwich wouldn't hurt anybody. And you eat it. You know that's true. That's the problem with Lexington Barbecue. No matter how much you eat
it's
there,
your problem,
it's
Lexington
not my
barbecue.
Problem. I have no problem with it. None, as you can tell. How do you think I keep this girlish figure?
All right. How about
I got COVID pounds to regain, man.
Yeah, there we go. See,
that's what
I knew
I'm doing.
That. I could have called that last week, but I was being nice.
I got like 8 pounds.
I've lost 20-some pounds.
I did. Now I got about 8 pounds to get caught back to my fighting weight, and that's got Lexington written all over it. I may have to go up there this weekend just to make sure it's
still there. All right. How about coaches?
Nebraska, Illinois can wait. One more road trip to Lexington, right?
Yeah. Bielema playing this week. Scott Frost playing this week. Good luck. Focus on the game. All right. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how coaches bounce back after losses to ranked teams. How about coaches just bouncing back, period?
Is that where we're going now?
How about coaches just, how are we doing after losses, right?
Pack is passed out in the front. Another barbecue Como. Yeah. When do you think you'll be bouncing back having another sandwich?
So scrap the rank losses. How about just losses?
Just a regular L.
L's.
Okay.
Ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's the list. Jeff Hafley, congratulations. You're 4-0.
Still 4-0.
Still 4-0.
Ranked, unranked, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. 4-0. Dabo Swinney, 21-8.
That's pretty good.
Mike Norvell, 3-3.
That's interesting too.
Jeff Collins, 5-9. Scott Satterfield, 8-4.
The mystery team.
In your mind.
I'm not saying anything else.
Some of these, because the coach has been there longer, like I'd like a little postscript examination, maybe last 3.5, 4 years of Dave Doran. Same with David Cutcliffe, maybe, you know, from like 10 to 17.
Interesting that Dave Doran and Dave Clawson, same record after a loss.
Yeah. Both have been at school same year, same number of years. Clawson 18-23, Doran 18-23. Anything on there catch your eye, sir?
The fact that Hafley, I just think that's an impressive number for a first-year coach to come off a loss and immediately, hey, we're not going on a losing streak. I mean, that's strong to me. Again, scheduling's part of this too. You know, you can go in a little deeper dive with the numbers and who did you play following Alabama or, you know, Ohio State or whatever the case may be. You know, who did you? Oh, you played Cupcake U the next week. Oh, that's a W. Or did you follow that up with somebody of note, conference game, whatever the case may be? Right. So, I mean, you got to go a little bit deeper into the dive with the numbers. But Jeff Hafley at 4-0 impresses me because, like I said, first year coach, we had COVID going on, right? It was a crazy year. Yeah. Got your COVID back. You know, you got the, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff going on with BC. I just was really, really impressed with the way he handled everything last season.
All right, here are the coaches who are over 500 in their career in games after losses to ranked opponents. This is what we talked about in the first hour of the show today. Mack Brown, 2-0 following a ranked loss in his second stint at Chapel Hill. Mike Norvell, 2-0 following a ranked loss. Dabo Swinney is 12-4 following a loss to a ranked team, but he's 9-0 since 2011. Pat Narduzzi's 9-5. Justin Fuente, 6-5. Those are the ones that are over 500.
Pat Narduzzi, 9-5 is the one that pops off. I mean, listen, Dabo's won so much, you kind of expect they just don't lose often. But Pat Narduzzi at 9-5. I think Pitt's also one of those teams, too, when you start looking into – hey, conference marks within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks are always surprised where Pittsburgh lands on that list. So always surprised.
Mm-hmm. I would agree totally. I like that today. On our final segment.
By the way, how many Apple wax papers do you want if there's still?
Just one.
One?
Just one.
Which means I buy three?
That's your problem, yes.
No, it's not going to be my problem.
I just want one.
All right.
That's all I need.
I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. If they are available, I'll get one for you.
Big cup of coffee and a wax paper pie for breakfast on Thursday morning.
Well, I don't drink the coffee. You know, that stuff will kill you.
Oh, man. When we come back on this Tuesday edition of the show, some of you are really excited about the season. Packer would fall into that category because he keeps getting the days wrong.
However,
a couple of you, one of you in particular, has gone over the top.
I love it.
Next on Packer
Durham. Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's an asset, Wes.
You
write it off.
Nobody wants to be on the road more than Mark Packer.
I swear I love going on the road.
I know.
I didn't get it this year with SiriusXM and the camp tours. I didn't get it at all with our tour. I mean, so I am just itching to get. I didn't get a chance to hang with y'all at the ACC kickoff.
No, Delta stepped in.
I mean, really, other than almost drowning in the Turks and Caicos and Lake Tahoe bite me. I mean, I'm just ready to get out of the house, quite frankly.
I don't know. The last two times you've been out of the house, things happen.
I know, but things always happen when I go on the road. That's why I get the chance to tell funny stories.
All right. We're excited to get into football, obviously, just like you are. Some of you are a little more excited than others. Yesterday, way ahead of schedule.
I love this.
We got a submission for accounting.
Already.
Folks, accounting is not until Tuesday the 8th or 7th of September. Dirty Bird sent us fan accounting.
Look at this.
Clemson, Carolina, Miami, State, Wake Forest, wow. BC, Pitt, 7. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, 9. Louisville, 10. Virginia, 11. Syracuse, Florida State.
Wait a minute. I'm sensing the Dirty Birds of Miami guy. There's no way you're going to put Florida State 13. Sorry. Not to tip your hand on accounting yet, but I don't think you could put Syracuse in front of Florida State based on what ended last year and what you expect this year. That's just my two cents worth. But I love the fact that people are already thinking about accounting.
Producers have just told me we're going to do accounting next week.
Sure. Let's do it.
Sure.
Why not? Why not?
Are we going to do a 15th this year? Since we did 16 last year?
Well, we had 15 teams in the league last year, and I didn't like the way it looked on the screen where you had 8 on one side and 7. It was just that spot, so I created the Sweet 16. This year, a little more balance. We're back to 14.
So we don't have to have.
Well, it's up to you. I may come up with two extras.
I'd say no.
All right, that'd be your list.
14 would be mine.
All right. We got 14 teams in the league this year.
I will rank all the eligible teams.
Okay, fair enough. Whatever makes you happy.
I will not be adding others to the list.
Whatever makes you happy.
All right.
I'll still bring you your one apple pie. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you.
Apparently, we're going to do accounting next Tuesday on this program.
Excellent. I love that. All for it.
You can tell I'm clearly excited about
that. Well, you know what? You don't have to do it if you don't want to. I'll make up your list.
I'll be a part of the team. No, you're not making up my list. That is definitely not
straighten
happening.
Straighten that out real quick.
All right, we asked you earlier about your bets. Like, we bet certain things are going to happen in 2021. We also put it to the fans. And guess what? You responded unbelievably well. Like Lennon Miller, who said, I bet Wake has at least a 10-win season.
Wow. Double digits in Switzerland?
That's what he's saying.
Ooh, that's a big number. Big number.
Next one. Floriganol. Can't really pronounce the Twitter handle. I bet Florida State will catch someone sleeping on them.
Well, I hope they get up and tell that guy to get along. I mean, come on. We're going to wake up and somebody's going to be sleeping on them. Yeah. Oh, you mean they're going to sneak
Floriganol.
Up on somebody?
Floriganol, I'm being told. There we go.
Hey, they did that last year. Ask Mac Brown. Right?
Yeah.
Ask Mac Brown going down there.
Right.
Sound asleep in the first half down by 50.
William H. says, NC State will be the best of the four in the triangle. Well, that would be breaking news because they're only 3 in the triangle, but 4 in North Carolina. But I know what you mean.
Well, he basically, you know what that is? That's calling out North Carolina.
It is, yeah.
But I will tell you, before you call out North Carolina, don't sleep on the Swiss. Wake Forest has been a thorn in NC State's side.
You don't have to tell NC State people. They know. Ryan says he bets on Kenny Pickett to become Pitt's all-time passing leader. Also, Coastal Chaos. The odds on Coastal Chaos, though, cannot be terribly high. It happens every year.
Seems that way.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the voice of the fan.
Okay.
The preseason field hockey poll is out for the ACC. No surprise, North Carolina is at the top. They got 6 of the 7 first-place votes.
Hold on. I'm going to get my back scratchers out. How are we talking field hockey?
You haven't gotten the third one yet.
No, I keep waiting for Karen Shelton. I mean, they win it so often that maybe the manufacturer went under. I don't know. But they are great back scratchers. Back to back to back.
Tar Heels of Coach Shelton opened the season against Michigan, who they beat in the national championship.
Yeah, but.
The GOAT is not there.
No, Chile.
The GOAT is in Chile. Yeah. Aaron Mattson will miss the season opener with the Junior Pan American Championships in Chile.
Chile.
Formerly known as Chile. So there you go.
Field hockey, North Carolina dominant. Louisville should be good.
Yeah, no question.
Louisville.
Open against Michigan. Michigan, yep. North Carolina. That's a rematch of last year's national championship.
It'd be sweet if everybody was at full strength, though. I mean, you're not going to really get a handle on that. But nevertheless, the championship game was awesome.
All right, 2 o'clock this afternoon, you'll get the Alliance press conference. Kevin Warren, George Kliavkov, Jim Phillips will be there, outline what that's about. We'll have reaction to it tomorrow. Adam Rittenberg is scheduled to join us on this program. But 2 o'clock this afternoon, Kelsey Riggs will be hosting from our ACC Network studios.
You know what's amazing?
What's that?
It happens on the radio show, too. With 5 minutes to go in a show, it doesn't matter if it's television, it doesn't matter if it's radio. The hounds know it. The hounds know when it's time. It's amazing. They could be sound asleep for 2 hours and 50 minutes, but man, they got the body clock. They know when it's time to go out and chase squirrels and chipmunks and rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
Just know.
Yeah.
Look at Chester. He's off the chair. He's just eyeballing what's going to happen.
There you go.
So I'm excited to see and hear what this alliance is, right? We can finally maybe put some definitive marks on what the alliance is going to be, and people can stop speculating, including us.
Yeah, and looking we'll get to reaction tomorrow from Adam Rittenberg. We'll have, obviously, coverage of the press conference this afternoon. You can see it at 2 o'clock on ACC Network. Dabo Swinney joins us tomorrow at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts.
Yep. Talk about that offensive line, the running backs, and everybody else. I know he's been really, really happy with the D. He likes his offensive linemen. They just got to figure out the right combo before they get cranked up with Georgia, which would be a pretty good football game right here in our backyard.
Thanks to Josh, Drew, Laura. Great job. Matt and Hank on the back row. Everybody in the radio bunkers. David Hale, Roddy Jones joining us live on this program. Hope you have a great day. Thanks for making Packer and Durham part of your Tuesday right here on ACC Network. That Alliance press conference is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll see you in the morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.